Does anyone really know what hormones do? Most women are left so confused about what this means for them. Let's leave behind the confusion as we head into the holiday season. An award-winning German nutrition scientist created a powerful herbal formula called Hormone Harmony. This combines 12 powerful adaptogens into one single capsule. Each one of these ingredients is carefully selected based on scientific evidence and has been proven effective in clinical studies for women of various ages and hormonal profiles. Happy Mammoth, the company behind this phenomenal formula, has helped over 2.4 million women get their lives back and feel like themselves again after years or even decades of hormone imbalances. The company surveyed 1,800 women to see how Hormone Harmony helped them, and the results are mind-blowing. 86% of women started losing weight, 77% say it improved their mood, and 100% said they're feeling like themselves again. Hormone Harmony has over 50,000 raving reviews from women all over the world, with 98% of them saying that they'd gladly recommend it to their friends and family. You can try Hormone Harmony risk-free and get 15% off your first order with code HOMEMAKERCHIC, all one word, at checkout.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Homemaker Chic Podcast. It's Thursday, at least here where I am. It's sunny and beautiful, and
It's so sunny and beautiful.
I'm so happy to be here with you and with my best friend, Angela. We are the hosts of Homemaker Chic Podcast. If you are unfamiliar with who we are outside of this podcast, then you really should go visit Angela's blog, ParisianFarmGirl.com. Check out her Old World Design Society. She's got all kinds of stuff going on there. If you haven't been to my blog before, visit the ElliottHomestead.com. Check out my cooking community, all kinds of stuff there. We started blogging like over 12, 13 years ago. Like, it's been a long time now, maybe a little bit longer
16
for you.
And a half. So okay. I started almost 17 years ago.
Which isn't that insane?
Really creepy. But I do. Actually, you know, we've got some, I know some of you are listening. You're like diehard fangirls and you want more, more, more. You know, Shay and I came together to do this podcast because we had really not collaborated on anything creatively.
Yeah.
And so if you kind of want to see like where we're each coming from, yeah, like go just click around the websites, go play, go watch Instagram, make sure you're following us individually on Instagram. Click on Instagram, watch the YouTube, click on Instagram. Golly, do the thing, you know, the social media thing.
Yeah, do those things.
Do those things.
Yeah, we say this a lot, but frankly, we get really tired of hearing our own voices and looking at our own stupid faces. So if it brings you joy, I'm happy for you. I just thank God every day I don't have to edit my YouTube video because.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep.
Anyway. Yeah. So we thought we'd talk some more.
Sure.
Since we're so tired. Yeah. And we're just going to have some fun today. We're going to go out into the gardens, out into the farms. So if you're unfamiliar with the story, Angela and I are both homesteaders, for lack of a better word. We both have small little farms that we use to grow food and meat and dairy. And we have flower gardens and fruit trees and vegetable beds and all the beautiful things because we both find just such pleasure and joy in it.
Yeah.
And this is the time of year where you get to sort of be like unashamed in your dreams. I said to Stu the other day, I said, Stu, like, this is my year. And he's like, honey, you say that every year. I'm like, but this is it. I can feel it.
Yeah.
In my bones.
Why not?
Yeah. Why not?
Every year. Exactly. I mean, every year, you know, a garden is alive. Even now under the soil, we were looking at photographs, my kids and I said, can you believe all of that's going on under the ground? Mm-hmm. Like, it's not dead. Mm-hmm. It's just there. It's just there and it's going to come out and it's alive. Like, why shouldn't it be? Every year it's going to get better. So why shouldn't each year be your year?
Yeah.
You know, every year totally. You learn a little bit more about livestock, God willing.
No, honestly.
And every year, you know, you could make a farm is a, you know, for all the nonsense that you see online, the bucolic nonsense, a farm is really a messy, dirty place. And you fight really hard to keep it charming, you know?
Got enough going against you, I swear.
Feed bags, Rubbermaid tubs, bins, dumpsters, all the stuff that like you don't see on Victorian farm. You know, that's
everything looks more idyllic when there's no plastic. Like, oh, I'm gathering my eggs in a wooden basket. Like,
exactly.
And then you start introducing just, but also there's a lot of bonus that comes with that as well.
Sure.
So, yeah. Okay. So let's just jump in here for a second. I know we need to do the wine segment and all that, but this is so perfect to what you just said. So we lambed 2 weeks ago and long story short, I'll spare you the details. You can go watch our latest YouTube video if you want to like actually get the whole rundown, but we ended up with 2 bottle lambs and I was just truly praying to the Lord and saying, Lord, thank you for plastic, for all that it, all of its ugly, disgusting, ocean polluting bite. It does save things. And like, it's because of this little plastic bottle and it's because of this little plastic nipple that I'm actually able to sustain these 2 lives. And now they're great. They lived, they got through that horrible period where we thought for sure they were going to die. And now they're out with the sheep, happy as clams in the pasture. And I just thought, like, this is a great blessing too, you know?
Right.
Even when if it's ugly.
A feed bag wrapped around the tree after a long winter. Yeah. How many feed bags do you unfurl from the tree trunks? We have to go do this. So we have a rock wall like on the perimeter of the property. Not the one you see on my garden. Like I made that with some of those rocks, but this is one of the original orchard walls. And I don't know, like at what point in history did we decide we would just dump garbage in the woods? I mean, there's just so much garbage, like, and it's barbed wire wrapped around the trees. There's trees, barbed wire growing through the trees. Like they grew up around the barbed wire. I don't get it. So much garbage back there. And then some of it's ours that blows in the blizzards and everything. Last year we were cleaning up. I should save this for the segue to the wine segment.
we can do the wine segment whenever we want.
Yeah, right.
Charge
we
here.
Had a huge laugh last year because we were just like, oh, this is awful. It's like white trash. And it wasn't our garbage. It was just terrible. Who would do this to a beautiful forest and a really charming? Why would you let a rock wall crumble? And, you know, you look back at how people treated things. And maybe today we're like longing for some sort of ideal. So we have more appreciation for it. I found within 2 minutes of each other, a tub, a faded old tub of frozen margarita mix. And then just a few minutes later, I found one of these big glass, like bachelor party martini, like bachelorette party martini glasses, like just really, really huge, you know, in our rock pile. We laughed so hard. We're like, it's a party.
We're
just out here. We're just making frozen margaritas behind a barn and just dumping our garbage. This is great.
Don't bury your garbage, people.
No, they don't even bury it. And then around the corner, like there's like a pile of mattresses. Thank you. That's wonderful. Nothing says a walk just in the woods.
Just keeping it classy. How come you don't see that on Victorian Farm? That's what I want to know.
Goodness. I don't think Elizabeth Bennet ever went for a stroll and encountered a stack of
old mattresses. Maybe she did. I don't know.
They would have been charming tick, so it doesn't matter.
They would have decomposed quickly. Yeah, they were just, you know, wool and
straw tick.
Yep. Kind of like that. Yeah, this is, so our snow is starting to melt here. We got that 2.5 feet a million years ago, and it's been here ever since. So this is the first week that I've actually seen any of my gravel or any of my soil since winter, since the end of November. So this is it really does feel like a treat. And there's just, I try not to be overly emotional about it, but it makes me feel very emotional, you know, like And you start drawing these really deep parallels, maybe to things that you don't need to be drawing deep parallels to. And everything just sounds, feels like spiritual and, right. and heavy and like, oh, rich.
Redemption.
Rebirth. I tried to convey this on my YouTube video about the lambs, but it didn't come across. And Stu finally like stops recording and he's like, what are you trying to say?
Stop talking, full stop.
Oh my gosh. But I was just really feeling it. Like mm-hmm. every year we get to go into the stage of our farm and our garden with hope. You yes. know, and then like with our lambs, we sort of had that hope like dashed, like, oh no, 50% of our lambs are gonna die or whatever. Yeah. And they didn't. So then I'm like, it's worth having hope. And, you know, we talked about all the times we'd failed as farmers. Like, how many chicks have you nursed when their heads are all floppy and like, they're like this. And you're like, come on, little chick, you can make it. And you warm them up and you try mm-hmm. to feed them and their necks. So they're just like, oh, they just want to die. Chicks just right. want to die. And so Stu was, you know, just teasing me a little bit. Like, how many chicks have you tried to nurse back to health and you carried them around in your bra to warm them up? And come on, little guy, you can make it. And we used to raise meat rabbits and bunnies are brutal to their babies.
They're like pigs.
They're barbaric.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so he's like, how many little baby bunnies have you rescued and like tried to warm up on top of the espresso machine? And, you know, you do all these things. You plant all the vegetables and you're like, this is going to be the best garden ever. Mm-hmm. You always enter into all these things that you do. And if you don't have hope as a farmer or as a gardener, you're done. You wouldn't do any of it.
Yeah. I think it's like the New Year's resolution. Like, just do it. Yeah. Go do the thing because you're going to be so much more ahead of the game. Yeah. What are you going to go into gardening, farming, spring, lambing, calving and be like, well, I hope it works out this year.
And it won't. That's the thing. It's like, yeah. we know that it won't.
That's
we know. Think about
me. The struggle is the
thing. Think about all the things that have gone wrong on our farms. Let's recount some. How about the time you got headbutted by that ram and you had to shoot it? How about that time?
Headbutted? Like Yes,
what would you call it? Him.
No, I mean, I thought you meant he had like a Highland headbutt, like he got me in the head. No, I got rammed by a ram, which is like really just standing in your driveway while the UPS man comes down it and just letting him hit you. It's a force you cannot fathom.
Yeah.
Yeah, it jarred.
It's a sledgehammer.
It's a sledge. He hit me in the thigh and it actually shook my jaw, like my jaw hurt. Mm-hmm. And then I shot him.
Yeah. We've both lost ewes. We've both lost lambs.
Yeah.
I've lost a dairy cow.
Oh, that was awful.
I've had to butcher a dairy cow who couldn't get bred. All the things. We've had dogs get hit by car. Chickens getting eaten by owls. Eagles. Chicks die.
Aiden's first rabbit. He was taking a piano lesson and I found this rabbit like ripped in half in the backyard. And you know, he's little, like, this is a big deal. We're going to raise, we're going to have meat rabbits. This was his rabbit. Yeah. So many owls and then destroy.
Oh yeah.
I mean, just
take the heads off. There was that time we had that owl take the heads off 35 of our 50 meat birds in one night, 35 chickens decapitated in one night by one owl.
That's unbelievable.
Coyotes. We've had elk come through and trample.
I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. The elk come through. They love the orchards in the wintertime. And we have a little local herd that moves through. And
okay.
And that's not even the gardens, you guys. Like, right. Hail.
Moles, voles.
Voles.
Snails. Slugs. Earwigs.
Rabbits.
What are those horrible ones on the zucchini?
Squash bugs.
Squash borer. I have sprayed zucchini plants and I have literally taken like surgical tape.
Yeah.
And like wrapped it around the base, the stalk of the plant to try to get it to like stay.
Yep. Freaking squash bugs, man.
I hate those things. And then a couple of years ago I brought autumn clematis into the garden and with it came this magical new gray bug that just devours the whole thing in an afternoon. never seen it before. I had never seen flea beetle. Do you have flea beetle? I had never seen flea beetle before this garden. How did you find my radish and my arugula? I'm in the middle of a forest. What were you eating before I planted the radish and arugula?
Could you eat that again, please?
Could you please eat that again? It's like mosquitoes. Whose blood were you sucking before I came outside?
Yeah. I don't know if I ever told you this, but my very first garden, Stu and I had just got married. He built me a little raised bed in our rental house and I planted radish and I was so proud of myself. Like I'd found this piece of myself that had always been missing. I felt so fulfilled and I felt like I'm stepping into who I was meant to be. And I harvested my first radish and I brought it inside so we could share it. And I cut it in half and put the salt out and I cut it and there was a huge grub inside.
Ew.
And I was like, this is so symbolic. How the rest of this is going to go. And yet we still do it. We still show up with guns a-blazing. Like, would you rather do anything else in the whole world?
No, but it's just so funny how much of it, it's like this one area of life where you're just willing to just take a beating again and again. You know, from seeds, they get like some fuzzy, weird mildew thing on them. And your friends are like, pour cinnamon on it. You know, like there's like all the weird things that even happen before you get anything outside.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Am I overwatering it? Am I underwatering it? I watered it from below. I didn't pour the water on top. Like, yeah.
Yeah. No, it's like, it is like taking a beating and you're like, please, sir, I'll have some more. You know, please, sir, I'll have some more. My chickens have started to lay again now that they're getting more sunlight. And I went and I gathered up a dozen eggs the other day and I was so excited. I was like, this is amazing. And now you get to like, look, you got a dozen eggs and that's enough to keep your family happy. And now you can take eggs off the grocery list. And then I was thinking about how much money we'd spent on feed over the winter when they weren't laying. And I'm like, so this is what, like $500 for this dozen eggs? Like there's no economy in which this makes sense.
Right?
Each egg, $45.
Right? Like, that is just a good omelet.
That is, better be a good omelet.
Better put some herbs on that.
It better be a good omelet. It's hard to explain if you're not a gardener. Because when you do explain it, I mean, and I have a lot of friends who aren't gardeners. And they're just like, that doesn't make sense. Do not yawn. She always does this on Thursdays. Oh, she always yawns on Thursdays.
Stop it. Sorry.
You know, and they're like, this doesn't make sense. And oh, I just don't have time for that. And I'd rather spend my Saturdays doing this or doing that. And I'm like, what you say is 100% true. And yet we're here and there's quite literally nowhere else you'd rather be. Mm-hmm. I just had somebody ask me, what are your summer plans? I was like, I'm going to garden my face off. I don't understand the question. What? That's all I'm going to do. Compute.
I know. I've been telling the kids, I said, we're just about to release the spring magazine and I've already started on the summer. I'm like, I'm going to get it done and I will see you Reformation Day.
Yeah. Right.
I'll be outside if you need me.
I'll be outside if you need me.
Yeah.
Exactly. Oh, it's just, this year, it's going to be the year, you guys, I can tell. So, okay. What's going on your farm right now? What you guys got going on?
Well, we're lambing too. So we had twins a couple of weeks ago and one died. I don't know if it just died or somebody slept on it. It was very disappointing. Mm-hmm. And there's just always this stupid struggle in the barn because you want to like pen people off. I'm not milking. I haven't milked my cow in a couple weeks. I just have her with the calf because it's so bloody cold out.
And yeah.
I just don't, when it's, I can do the cold. My body can do the cold. My fingertips and my toes, like it kind of scares me. They hurt for like over an hour when I get back inside. So I'm like, I don't need to prove anything by milking when it's -4, like I'm a modern girl. Okay. So anyways, but then now I want to go back to milking. And so separating the cow at night is such a struggle because of the way we're configured. I don't want her trampling the lambs. It's just a giant pain.
Yeah.
Then we lambed again yesterday and the mom, the ewe is, she's not a good mother. And so I brought them inside. So we're trying to do this boot room, still doing the boat room, friends. But we're making lovely strides. Got like wainscoting up like an antique salvaged one. And I said to Jewel, I said, you need to fashion some sort of a pen for these sheep, because I had the, thankfully I had the milk replacer on hand, like a grown up. And you're going to have to fashion some sort of a pen, because now we have house sheep, because she just wouldn't, every time they walk, yeah. She would just walk away from them. So they actually did really good. So you were thanking the Lord for
plastic
a bottle
nipples.
With a nipple. And I was thanking the Lord for a friend with a turkey baster. I used a turkey baster, which was great. The lambs actually did phenomenal. They were just really aggressive. Uh-huh. So I actually put them back out this morning to see what would happen, because she was calling for them and she didn't walk away. For the first time ever. Last year, she would walk away from them. This year, she walked away. She stood there and they latched right on and got to town.
Fabulous.
Such a relief, because mm-hmm. it was fun. It was fun to have them in the house. And Junior had never had a house animal like that mm-hmm. before. So the other kids, like at our other farm and stuff, we've done that. We've like tried to save the goats and had the heating blanket and that whole like fun excitement of the little animal in the house, or a couple of them in the house, but he had never experienced that. And he went upstairs and got diapers. He's cutting a hole in the diaper for their tail. Like it was hysterical. He was mm-hmm. thrilled. Me, like that novelty wore off really fast. So
yeah. Yeah, it is fun for a minute.
Fun for a minute. So I'm really happy. You know, this morning when the first thing, I didn't even get my coffee down and I'm like feeding them mm-hmm. before dawn, you know,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm really happy. They're back.
Yes. Outside. Yeah. Animals belong outside. It's fun to have them inside for a little bit. And
yeah.
And when they're sick or when they really need you, like mm-hmm. there's some, it's like when your kid needs you, it's like there's something that rises up in you yep. and it's like, oh, you yeah. don't even think about it.
Right.
You know, you just do it. You don't eat. And that's like the chicken, the bra thing. Like mm-hmm. you see a little chicken and it's like, you need to warm it up. You don't even think about it. I ran, mm-hmm. we had a little crippled lamb this year and we were driving down the driveway coming home from church when we saw this, and I saw her flopping around in the snow and I was like, oh my gosh, this lamb is dying. I didn't even think about it. I just literally jumped out of the moving car in my church dress, in my church shoes, ran into the muddy, poopy sheep pasture, scooped mm-hmm. up this bloody, muddy, snowy lamb right up against my really nice. I didn't even think about it. You just, right. you just do what needs to be done to help your creatures.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and you have to, because like they want to die.
They want to die so bad.
It's like bees. It's like seedlings. It's like livestock. They all just want to die. They're trying so hard to die.
Yeah. I'll tell you something I'm struggling with. And okay. I'm going to pretend like I'm just talking to Angela here, because I'm sure everybody has their opinion about this. But like, okay. I'm genuinely struggling with, sharing elements of our farm life with our audience, because people who don't understand animals or don't understand how farms work, they get very confused. And I don't blame them, because they don't understand it. What I do yeah. blame them for is voicing an opinion about something that they genuinely don't know anything about.
Mm-hmm.
And I find myself really like almost holding back from sharing things, because I'm like, y'all aren't going to understand this. mm-hmm. I shared about our bees dying. And this is why I don't do Instagram messages, because I just get very socially overwhelmed with them. But mm-hmm. I had like over 60 messages from this one Instagram story about, why did your bees die? Or you should have tried this. And what is this normal? And this is just proof of this. And da da da. And it just went on and on and on. I'm like, no, bees die. Like in the wild, bees die. Like bees are the wildest animal you could ever try to keep on your farm. You are not domesticating them. Okay. Mm-hmm. They are wild, wild creatures. And we didn't have a cold spell. They had plenty of food. There wasn't any moisture going on. My guess is they probably lost their queen for one reason or another. And if the queen isn't laying new eggs, then the hive will die out in about 3 weeks. So yeah. it happens. Like, I'm not upset about it. It's a bummer, but it happens.
Yeah. They are and not eternal.
They are not eternal.
They're all going to die anyways. Like the bees you're looking at today are not the bees you're looking at 90 days from now.
Exactly. Like, they live for a very short period of time. Yeah. And it's just difficult because people don't understand. And I guess part of our job is to help them understand. But the other part of me is just like, I don't,
no, I don't know. I feel what you're saying. I went through such grief when we got our cow. I mean, there's a reason you don't see my cow on social media because I can't handle it. I received the worst messages from people. You know, I have a Jersey, their ribs show. Mm-hmm. When all that production is going towards 80 pounds of milk a day, their ribs show. And I just received dressings down. Mm-hmm. How would you say that about, you know, like this happened on your watch, you know, she probably didn't look like that when you got her. This is your fault. Like, you know, why don't you tell that to my Wisconsin Dairyland vet who was just here an hour ago and said, she looks fabulous. Mm-hmm. I'm glad that you're here and you can see a snapshot or her from an angle or like, wow, it must be amazing to be such a bovine expert through the screen. It's too much. I mean, my team mm-hmm. is always asking me, give us more pictures farm of the animals. Farm, videos of the farm, you know, let's work with yep. that. And I just, mm-hmm. if I do, I must be really feeling strong because the feedback, it's just, people love to see animals, but sadly with social media, there's just too many professional yeah. opinions.
Yeah. For the past 3 years, I've encouraged women in their kitchen with new whole food recipes and instructional cooking videos. If you've been needing a little more pep in your step when it comes to cooking delicious food, I want to personally invite you right now to join the Elliott Homestead cooking community. Visit cook.theelliotthomestead.com to get started. As a cooking community member, you will get 5 farm fresh inspired recipes each month, created from my farm kitchen and delivered straight to you. I'll also send you an instructional video to go along with those recipes so that you can learn new skills and begin to enjoy new dishes and flavors. Together, we'll cook dishes like chicken milanese, plum and marzipan bread pudding, homemade harissa with summer vegetables, barley and wild mushroom salad, sourdough English muffins, caramel apple cake, wine poached pears with blackberries and bay, and so much more. The cooking community is a place of inspiration and community where you can visit with other home cooks on our circle group or simply enjoy the bountiful recipes that you'll find each month in your mailbox or inbox. Visit cook.theelliotthomestead.com right now. Choose the membership package that's right for you. And let's get cooking. Last year, we finally took the jump into the freeze-drying world with a beautiful new freeze dryer from Harvest Dry, and we are so glad that we did. As a homemaker and gardener, these freeze dryers have the very important job of making sure that nothing, whether it's a bountiful crop from the garden or leftover soup from Sunday supper, go to waste. These incredible machines are very versatile. You can use your freeze dryer to preserve dairy, meat, produce, and even complete meals. Here's the very best part. Everything is completely automatic. You literally just fill the freeze dryer trays, push the start button, and walk away. Preserving food can be that simple.
Freeze-dried food lasts for 25 years in your cupboards and will maintain taste and color and flavor. The food retains nearly all of its nutritional value, and home freeze-dried food costs 1/3 the cost of store-bought, which means your freeze dryer from Harvest Right will pay for itself in no time. This is the perfect season to order your freeze dryer so you can have it set up and ready for spring and summer bounty, whether you're freeze-drying fruits, vegetables, herbs, milk, or even eggs. Harvest Right machines are the best on the market and will soon become an invaluable player of your preserving kitchen. Visit bit.ly/HarvestRightHomemaker or click the link in the show notes to shop your new home freeze dryer system from Harvest Right today. It's winter, we're getting organized, we're getting clean, we are washing our sheets from American Blossom Linens, softer with each washing. These are our favorite sheets here on the show. You know this, as fans of vintage linens, these are the best sheets ever. Shay and I love to call them modern vintage, and you need to be sleeping on them with a process called combing. All the rough fibers are pulled through these American-made, Texas-grown cotton sheets. This creates the softest, most beautiful sheets for your home. You will love them. I know you're in the mood to spruce things up. You want to make things fabulous for your home, beautiful. You want to survive winter in style. Do that with American Blossom Linens. Visit AmericanBlossomLinens.com and use this equally as beautiful coupon code HOMEMAKERCHIC20 for 20% off sheets, duvets, beautiful linens that I know you will love as much as Shay and I do. AmericanBlossomLinens.com. Use the coupon code HOMEMAKERCHIC20.
Homemaker Chic listeners, you've heard us talk about it, but now is the time to take the next step in your grocery shopping, real food pantry stocking journey by doing your monthly shopping with Azure Standard. Right now, we want you to visit bit.ly/Azure Chic and get shopping. Azure Standard is a family-owned, Oregon-based whole food grocer that delivers all around the United States each month. They'll connect you with a local drop-off point in your area, and then the fun really starts.
That's right, Shay. So visit bit.ly/Azure Chic. Build a cart full of the products that you need to run your home and kitchen, from cleaning products to plant starts to spices to dry goods, fresh produce to baking supplies, and everything in between. This is how we stock our refrigerators and pantries each month. Azure has exceptional offerings at a fraction of the cost of your local specialty markets or health food stores. Visit bit.ly/Azure Chic right now and bring the fun back into your kitchen and pantry.
And it's difficult because we do what we feel is best in our situation based on our experiences, our expertise in certain things, our zoning, our weather. Mm-hmm. Like, we take all of this into account.
Right.
And yeah, somebody can just really quickly throw a lashing out based on maybe how you keep your chickens or what breed that you have. And, you know, when I complained about my chickens not laying eggs through the winter, I was complaining because I like to eat eggs and I like to have eggs,
yeah,
you know, and got dressed up and down because, like, okay, well, this is the natural cycle of the chicken and maybe you shouldn't have them if you're not okay with, you know, just that kind of stuff. And it can be really tricky because there is, like, I love this lifestyle so incredibly much. And I wish that people would, if they want to, I wish that they would live it. I wish that they would go start a garden. I wish that they would get just a chicken if they can, if that's what they want. You know, I wish that they would deal with a dairy animal or have some sort of experience before they weighed in on how you were going about that in your home. You know what I mean? So does that make sense?
It does. And it's just kind of like we talked about money. Like, let's just not make decisions for other people or pretend that we can look. I mean, I watch a lot of, I see a lot of farmers online, and even I drive by. I live in a rural community. I don't drive by and assess what they're doing. I'm like, I'm assuming since you have crap tons of money invested into it, like I do, you're doing your best.
Yeah. Yeah. You want your animals to do, you want your animals to do well. The dairy cow thing is a real sticking point for people because I think they get used to seeing, like, Angus cows as they drive by on the freeway out in the field. That is a beef cow. A beef cow is genetically designed to make fat and muscle. A dairy cow is designed to make milk. These have, even this is how they've been bred for.
Yeah. Even different breeds. I mean, I don't recall seeing ribs so on the Holsteins on the neighbor's farm. You know, I feel like it's the specific to Jersey, maybe even Guernsey. I don't know. I'm not going to try to be an expert because I just have a Jersey.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry.
And my son's beloved Ben says she is well cared for. So, yeah, every year, I think a few years, or maybe it was when we first started the show, we started talking about gardening. We would, like, do our dirt dishing episodes.
Yeah.
And I just said, like, this is going to be my best year as a gardener. What did I used to say about gardening? I'm going to be my very best gardener.
Yes.
That's what I say. I'm going to do it again. I'm going to be my very best gardener this year.
As always. Yes.
Always.
I want to be my best farmer. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I want to do all those things, you know, and I have to thank the podcast in that way, because it makes us focus on these things, right? From making our bed,
it foremost, you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
From making the bed to working out, to budgeting, to, you know, accounting for things with the children, just the heart posture, like, all of it. I mean, the hope for the homemaker is that you grow in skill and you grow in all these kinds of things. And I think there's almost no better place to learn that lesson than in the garden, because, you know, take your beating, get up the next day and do it again.
Mm-hmm. here's something I want to try this year. Tell me what you think.
Okay.
I don't know if my big greenhouse, like my one that I've got all designed in my head, I don't know when that will go up. We're going to have help with our pond as soon as the snow melts. And I'm super excited about that because I tried to DIY it, our big pond, and it's, you know, yeah. Not so much. But I'm thinking about getting a smaller greenhouse. Growing peppers and cukes and tomatoes and stuff like that here is an exercise in futility.
Yeah.
I just haven't nailed it. I haven't figured it out. It's such a late season. I don't want to wait that long. I'm thinking about growing them in a greenhouse.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think Monty does that, right? Can I just grow them in the greenhouse?
Monty does that. Because his summers are too short and not hot enough.
Yeah.
And I think that's how yours are too
short.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's interesting. I'm glad you brought that up because I forgot to talk about that. I also this year saved for a little greenhouse.
Mm-hmm.
I have my one that you guys see pictured on like Instagram and such, which has turned into garden tool shed / wood storage. Because we need
it dry and
so it's the perfect spot for firewood.
Okay.
And it's really important that we have a really good healthy stash of that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's also like the entire property length away from my vegetable garden. So when you're taking trays and trays and trays and none of it's drivable by tractor or golf cart. So it's like you're hand carrying everything. Mm-hmm. It just was not a great setup. So I did a ton of research and settled on a greenhouse that I think will do well. And that is such a great way to extend season stuff, whether it's, you know, like I'm going to plant my citrus trees in mine. I'll use it as like a potting table for starts and stuff, but I'll also use it as a place to have lemons, my lemon trees and grapefruit trees and such. So I think it's a great idea, especially with the pest stuff that you have to manage there with the forest and everything. I think that would be a
pests don't really get after though. I haven't had any pest problems with those particular plants.
Okay. I thought the deer ate your tomatoes. Do they not? I was thinking that they did, but I might have made that up.
I have like, so I built that kind of like, it's not wattle fence, but like that large wattle-esque fence. And then I line that with deer fence. So as long as I keep up with that and I don't let that come down in a windstorm, like the actual netting part,
yes,
we do okay.
Okay.
It's just the inconsistency of the heat until July. And then after that, it's only till, you know, late September or something like that. So,
right. Right. Yeah. There's a really great Facebook group that
are those words coming out of your mouth?
Yes, they are. This is, I am not on Facebook much at all, but I want to look for it because how can I search this? It's if you are interested in looking into greenhouses and just it's full of people who have a greenhouse budget, people who do not have a greenhouse. It's called Hobby Greenhouse is what it's called.
Okay.
You should check it out. Listeners, you guys should check it out. Hobby Greenhouse. What people have makeshifted greenhouses out of and how they're able to grow stuff is so inspiring to me.
Okay. Okay.
Every kind you can imagine, beautiful, elaborate, like more worth more than my house to like pallets and plastic tarps, and people are making it happen and they can extend their season so much. It's just so neat.
Yeah.
The sun is so cool. I mean, what it can do and the ways that we can use it and manipulate it are just astounding to me.
So if you were me, would you plant them, like put in like a slightly raised bed and plant them right in the ground, or do pots, or what would you do?
I would do a raised bed because when roots are, you know, under the soil, just the moisture consistency is so much better.
Mm-hmm.
So I would, what I would do is probably if I were to put in a greenhouse, I would run half of it in a raised bed. And then would you also use it for like potting stuff or no? Do you need a spot for that or no?
No, because I mean, I eventually am going to do the big one at the,
okay.
as the focal point of the garden. I was actually thinking of putting this like out in the garden, like yeah. as one of the beds.
Okay. Then yeah, like mm-hmm. Monty, he has just a pathway that he can walk, mm-hmm. raised beds on both sides.
Yep. That's what I was thinking. Yeah.
Super simple.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It intrigues me. The idea of getting a cucumber before August about makes me, you know,
mm-hmm. Yeah, it's so funny to me how different our climates are. And we're both like kind of striving for the same sort of thing, the same mm-hmm. sort of aesthetic, and the way that we have to each manipulate our environments, like you with the heat and me with too much heat and mm-hmm. not enough rain. Oh, man.
Well, it's funny because Shay will make me just so envious, you know, in about a couple of weeks when she's already out there and she's starting.
Yes.
And then in July and August, when I'm out there living my best life, she's like, it's so hot. We can't even go outside. Mm-mm. And yeah,
we just can't. We just can't. No, mm-hmm. we had a 90 days of over 90 degrees last year. And when nuts. I say like over 90, there was 10 hundreds. Days where we were like 115, 117, 114, 116. And I just thought, I will die. It's like being roasted in an oven. Mm-hmm. My poor like Nestor, like we lost quite a bit in that heat wave. Stuff just doesn't like it that hot.
No, how could it?
Too hot. So it all wow. has a trade. And actually, I think this is worth noting because again, we're talking to people from all different zones, all different uh-huh. gardening centers. Like there's no arriving in a zone. There's no like, oh, this is Eden. And like,
you don't think like Southern California or you don't think there is?
No, because you're dealing with other stuff. You know, like I was watching Gardener's World last night and, you know, Monty has so much rain. Everything stays green year round. It's astonishing. But like we've talked about, he has to deal with slugs and tomato blight is like not a thing here. Never yeah. heard, like not even an issue because we just don't get enough moisture. Mm-hmm. But like we also get cold enough like you guys where it kills off a ton of stuff for us, whereas on the Washington coast, like even things like fleas on dogs are an issue. We don't have fleas on dogs or cats or anything like that because it gets too cold, you know. So it's like they can grow year round, but they got to deal with fleas. Like
yeah,
we can't grow year round, but you know, we don't have nearly the pest problem that they do. So it's right. trade. Wherever you live, there's really great things about your zone and really challenging things about your zone.
Yeah. Like here, you know, you'll get it all planted and you'll get it all put in. And I love a good thunderstorm. I love thunderstorms. We don't have them here like we did further 300 miles south. It's kind of sad. My kids are always, we're always ecstatic when there's a thunderstorm.
Yes. But that makes my heart like pitter just thinking about that.
So exciting.
Yes.
Then in the Midwest, you're always kind of like, but don't hail. Okay. Like we'll take the cozy, but please don't hail. You just, mm-hmm. and you start to hear it come on your roof and you're like, oh man, and it just like, you know, it's
yes.
size and it'll just shred your lettuce that was just getting going. And it's yep. pretty disheartening, you know?
Yep. There's all, yeah, there's just always
a trade.
Yeah. There's always a trade. Okay, so what are some of your goals with your garden this year? Like, what are you hoping for from your space?
So obviously, like I mentioned, the peppers and cucumbers and tomatoes, I'd like okay. that to be more. I'd like to have like a prolific aspect to those, you okay. know?
Yeah.
I did have a really wonderful strawberry patch that the deer got into 2 years ago, and I tried to salvage it, but they ate the tops off and the weeds, I couldn't keep up with the weeds. It was in just, you know, in the really the roughest spot when we cleared the forest, this was the roughest patch and it was just no good. So I actually just had Joel come in last year with the tractor and just scrape it all out. It was so sad because it was a really great strawberry patch. And so I'm starting all over. I've got 500 plants ordered and like, here's hoping yeah. I can get a strawberry this year. We'll see.
Yeah.
So I'm going to do that. There's things that my garden doesn't have that makes me sad. I don't have any currant bushes. Mm. It's very sad to me. So I'm this spring, I want to make sort of like a shopping list. Like, here's the things you're just going to go get right out of the gate. Cause all my seeds are ordered. I have all my starts coming, all that's done. But there's a few things that I just forget every year. And I don't want to like longevity mm-hmm. things, you know, mm-hmm. I still don't have asparagus planted in my garden. Mm-hmm. It's weird. Mm-hmm. So
yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. We just planted our black currants last year. So we've now we've got all kinds, all manner, probably six different plants. So we're kind of carving out a new little space on our property that's just been blank sort of pasture land. And the idea was to kind of invest in some like food forest perennials, like a couple of nut trees, a couple more variety of fruit trees. So, I'm trying to think of what we ordered. I had it all planned out.
Yeah. I hope this is the year. So my sheep got my orchard a few years ago and it took quite a lashing. And so I'm hoping this is the year that sort of all pans out. And if it doesn't, I'm just going to yank them out and replace them really, really quick. Just mm-hmm. get it over with. Like I'm like, okay, I gave you 2 years to rebound. If you're not going to, you're out of here.
You're out. Exactly.
Golly. Yeah.
Exactly.
And I just remembered, like, I started a new garden in the back. So that's all under the snow.
How it's a lot of work. It's so exciting.
That's really so exciting.
I wish that this is what I wish people could understand about gardening. Like, work you to the bone, exhaustion, time, money, effort. But like, there is genuinely such a pleasure in working for something, whether it's flowers or vegetables or fruit trees. And I'm so inspired when I watch Gardener's World because they do such a great job of showing people in all different sort of walks of life, you know, tons of people in London with just a little balcony to garden on, like just pots. Yeah. Or you know, houseplant collections because they have no yard, or teeny little postage stamp size back lots that somehow they turn into like a tropical jungle. You know, it's just
incredible.
It's so incredible. And it's what it's like we were talking about when, you know, when you read scripture, like it doesn't return void. That's how gardening is. It's one of those things like when you invest in it and you spend time in it, it comes. Somehow it comes back.
Something's like, going to happen.
Yeah. You're not going to walk away from that unchanged. Mm-hmm. Like the beatings are real, but the romance supersedes mm-hmm. that exponentially.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I created I have a little garden right out here in my potager and it's beautiful. And it's been all manner of vegetable patch over the years and this and that. Well, I'm trying to kind of keep things a little bit more organized because it's so easy when you've got little bits of things all over the place to miss out on stuff as it comes ripe or you let it go for too long or you don't read it or what have you.
My problem is I like to look at it like the beets. I like seeing them all lined up there. I don't want to harvest them.
I know. I grow vegetables half of it just so I can enjoy them.
Yeah.
Looking at them.
I like purple. Oh, it's purple
so
cabbage.
Pleasurable.
I just want it to sit there and look purple.
I know. I ordered a ton of seeds this year just for stuff. I'm like, that would look really good in a still life. So I guess I'll grow it.
Right.
But I ended up planting this in perennial flowers last year. So, because I also have a hard time harvesting my flowers. So when my peony bush is in bloom, I'm like, it's beautiful. I can't cut all this off and bring it inside. It's too beautiful.
Right.
So I planted like 15 peony bushes in this because I'm like, I want lavish bouquets on my stove. Like I want to just roll in them and slap myself in the face with them and rub them all over my body. And when you got to have access to be able to do that with it.
Yeah.
All the flowers, please.
I'm sorry. My brain, like just remembering that I started that garden out back. I'm like, are we done yet? Because I want to go like read gardening books. Like, I can't believe I forgot about that. Mm-hmm. We put down 3 beds. I have 2 more to put down. The gravel never came, but it's all cardboarded.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's very exciting.
Yeah, you got a plan for that.
Oh,
yeah. Our greenhouse came yesterday.
Okay.
So it's in the back of the truck right now. And before we can put it together, we have to rent a piece of equipment to level out the ground because nothing is level. There's no flatness here.
Where's it going to go again?
It's going to go up by my new market garden. So it'll run parallel to the beds. It's a 26-foot long greenhouse.
Okay.
So it'll be right there, which makes sense. That's where all the veggies need to be.
Cool.
So I'm really excited about that. Some people do nice things. I spend money on plants.
Right. And oysters.
Apparently. Don't worry. I didn't do it to a charge card. I pay cash. Flowers and oysters, please. A woman of high but simple tastes.
Oh, and Dry Farm. Do we need to talk about Dry Farm? Do we need to cue the music quick before we're done?
Dang it.
Because we're about done.
Shoot.
All right. All right. Well, you guys know the drill. You've been listening long enough. And if you haven't, here's the deal. The concept on this show is better, not more. So if you're going to have a couple glasses of wine a week or a couple glasses of wine a month, we would like to invite you to try Dry Farm Wines. dryfarmwines.com/homemakerschic. If you're a first-time customer, you're going to get a bottle for a penny with your order. And the whole idea is that these are biodynamic, organic wines from small farmers around the world. So these people have the same warm, fuzzy, romantic notions about their gardens as Shay and I do. These are small family farms, boutique wines that you really can't walk into the grocery store and get. So there's no additives, no GMO yeast, no extra sugar. What else, Shay? What am I forgetting?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah,
that's it. Okay.
Yeah.
dryfarmwines.com/homemakerschic. We know that you will enjoy them as much as we do.
Yeah. And again, in my over-emotional gardening state right now, I will say that some things are more than the sum of their parts. You know what I'm saying? And to me, wine or gardening is one of those things. Like when you pour a glass of Dry Farm wines and you go walk around your garden, for example, or last night I poured one and I just went and stared at my sheep. I just watched them eat, you know, There are certain moments like that, that sort of, if you were to just say, go look at your sheep and have a glass of wine, That doesn't do justice to what something like that can do and the way that it can kind of just fill you up and move you and help you to just experience that moment. And Todd always says tapping in to certain things. There's something about holding one of these beautiful glasses of wine. And just when you taste them, they're clean, they're alive, they're fresh. And I feel like you get to experience that even more so when you're out in the garden. So we actually have a little, sounds dramatic, but little wine drinking table that I set up in the shade garden where we've worked all day outside and we'll pour a nice chilled glass of white wine and we just go sit at the little table and we just enjoy that moment. And, you know, we get to create moments like that in our gardens and, you know, that's what makes it really beautiful. So, yep. Love that.
That is beautiful. Mm-hmm. Homemakers that listen to the show, they are keeping beautiful by visiting toopsandco.com. So special thanks to Toops for sponsoring season 10. Speaking of organic and fabulous, Emily and her family are bringing us makeup and skincare without any garbage, quite frankly. So we want to thank them so much. The color that you see us often wearing on the show is called red wine. Ironically, that is our preferred red lipstick color, toopsandco.com. And we invite you to use the code CHIC10 for 10% off. Thank you so much to Toops for being the exclusive sponsor of season 10. And I think, Shay, we're going to have a great weekend.
Yep.
I hope you get to view some more grass patches as your snow melts, and I'm going to just will the snow to stay away from here on out, which probably won't happen, but here's hoping.
Yes, we'll here's to hoping.
Monday,
what would it be without hope, right?
What would it be?
Yeah. All right, ladies, we'll see you back here on Monday. Cheers.
Cheers.
Hey, hockey fans. Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at USAHockeyNTDP.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to HarlemGlobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.